We have needed it. She is going to be getting on to GroupMe, so she will be aware of all the prayer things. So, but I think it's really important that we pray together. So would anybody be interested in just doing a joint prayer on the phone on like Wednesday evening? Well, we can pick a time. We can say 7. Would 7 work? Well, I mean, you can always hang up. Right. Anybody else? There's a conference line. She's going to set up a conference line, so everybody just calls that conference line, and so we won't see anybody, but you'll be on the phone with them. We'll have a joint thing. Whoever wants to call in can call in. It's because some people have a hard time doing Zoom. We talked about Zoom, but it's, I think, for to start with, if we just all can call. You can if you want. So anyway, can I just see if that, because we want, if there's enough people. Okay, we will do that. So Teresa, do you want to set up the conference thing and then we'll get it out to everybody? Okay, that's awesome. I think it's really important. So I think it's a good thing for us to be praying together. And it probably will only be about 15 or 20 minutes unless it's like this week and we've had so many things to pray about. But I think it's, and if anybody else isn't on GroupMe and you're interested, please see Debbie. I'm not the guru but Debbie knows how to do it and get you connected. Then we have The Chosen, our movie that we had to postpone. We've set it up for September 12th, which will be the Sunday after Labor Day weekend. And we decided we'll do a potluck and then we'll see the movie. And this is episodes 3 and 4. So hopefully everybody, these are really good. And you can watch 3 and 4 and not even have watched 1 and 2. It's all from the Bible. So I'm encouraging you to plan for that. And we'll have a good group. We had a good group last time. And then another thing that when we was down at camp meeting, we had the ladies' retreat. They're going to be doing the ladies' retreat. So if anybody is interested in going to ladies' retreat, be sure and see Donna. And I usually just send in one check with the form. So it's a lot of fun. And I think the ladies will enjoy it. The men's retreat is next week. I know Bill is going. And I don't know if anybody else is going with him. But
when is the ladies' retreat?
What?
When?
It is September 17th through the 19th. And she has some of these she'll put on the back table if you want to look at it. Talks about who the speaker will be and stuff like that. Okay. That would require glasses.
Phenology.
95. It's for and you eat. I mean, it's really fun. It's just a great time together. There it was before.
Oh, wow. Lots of them.
Yeah, I have a lot. It's the whole district, so there's a lot of women that come, and I don't know how many will come this year, but it's a lot of fun. So I hope people come. There you go. Thank you. So, okay, and I think that's has enough. Announcements. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time that we have together to just come and worship you. Lord, we lift those that aren't here today up to you. We don't know if they're ill or if the heat's got to them, but Father God, just take care of them. We just praise you for them. We thank you that we have you that we can come to. Father God, just be with us as We worship you. Be with Pastor Teresa as she gives the sermon. Just open our hearts and let us just absorb you in all ways. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. All right, let's stand. Go to our call to worship. And today it's Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Amen. Amen. Okay. There's joy in the Lord. This is a great song to be singing, praising the Lord.
This is My favorite helper with me this morning. I think we've got enough ushers, so let's take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you continue to give your body in Gales Creek, Lord, and trials too. We will talk about those soon, but Lord, out of those will come new blessings yet unseen. And we trust you for that, not only just financially somehow, but just in relationships that will grow stronger. Lord, let us remember our first relationship with you and the command you gave us to give back to that relationship faithfully. Amen. Thank you. We have much to be in prayer about. If you guys have had the opportunity to be following the GroupMe chat this week, it has been so much. So many people that are hurt and mending, and so many people that just need prayer. So let's take a moment, and if you would like to lift them up before the congregation, please do that now, and I'll just call upon you if you raise your hand. Dan Huntley, 85th birthday. So prayer for Marie Huntley and headaches with a physiological thing going on her head here. And praise, Dan Huntley is 85 years young. So prayer for Jim and Lori, continuing as always. Yes, go ahead. Sorry. Praise and prayer requests all in one. Yep. So for Gene and Lori Scratcher, that was 45, right? 45? I'm almost there. I will get there. 45 years of marriage and prayer for safe road trip coming up to celebrate that, I assume. Yes, absolutely. Anyone else have someone they'd like to lift up? Ashton. Your grandpa Dan Lathrop. What would you like to lift him up in prayer about? For Dan Lathrop to get some good sleep. And Debbie has a praise. Praise God for allergies and not something worse. Yes, absolutely. Ashton, I remember I was your age or a little younger when mine really started to kick in too, buddy. And so, but it's been a good life since. They have some good medicines for that. Prayer for the upcoming men's retreat at Camp White Ranch. Is it the retreat or advance, or what is it called? It's retreat. All right, good. So prayer for all of the men there. My prayer would be that, sorry, this is very personal to me, that God would get a hold of their heart and make them men of integrity and men of true leadership in the church. We need that so desperately right now. I don't even want to say that that shortcuts the power of women in the church. I'm just saying we need it all right now. Donna, you had your hand up. It is a shoulder season right now, yeah. Yep. So prayer for Ted for his shoulder and his stomach. Prayer for Betty Culver for a quick recovery from her surgery this last Wednesday on her shoulder. Prayer for Bobby Kendall, who fell and fractured her shoulder. That doesn't have a surgery date necessarily yet, but she does go to the doctor Tuesday, so hopefully we'll get a quick surgery date. I know that was my prayer on the group meet, because I have a long-standing relationship with my son Gary, all the way back to high school, and I've been texting Gary, and Gary's like, she's in a lot of pain. And so I just called Bobby once. I didn't want to keep calling her and calling her. If she was on pain meds and sleeping, let her sleep. I got lucky enough to have a phone call in the middle of my father-in-law's colonoscopy with Betty on the way to the hospital. So God times things just right, you know? It's just funny. He does that. So, anyway. Well, it's not funny. It's divine. It's divine appointments. A praise from our family is that our little dog we've asked you to pray for, JoJo, is getting her sutures out right now as we speak at the vet in Newburgh. So that's where Sarah and Dawson are this morning, because Dawson is Joey's, Dawson's dog. So Joey's definitely on the mend. So praise there. Debbie. Stomach, that he's able to keep down some food so he can recover quicker. And prayer, Ted, we're going to pray for your surgery coming up on Wednesday. We love you, brother. And we love your wife, too. And so we're going to pray for her, involved with all your transportation and everything as well. Safe travels back and forth to that, and a successful surgery to repair his clavicle. Meetings. So praise God for that. Continue prayer for Judy's grandson, Josh, who is, I'm gonna put this positive spin on this, but is starting to leave alcohol. So that's how I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna pray through it. He was one of my youth kids back in the day. So did I see another hand up by Ashton over there again, or were you just stretching, buddy? Just stretching. Yes, Linda. And a beautiful mess you are, sister. Mostly digestive system related. Okay. Definitely affecting your digestive system. And you have more appointments this week coming up to try to figure it out. So let's pray for a doctor to be given wisdom and insight into a quick and speedy, helpful diagnosis for you. Until then, you'll be like the rest of us, a beautiful mess. And that's the way it is. Yes, Debbie. Claire's finger is barely sore anymore. Yeah. Yep, she is okay. The only way I can get it to hurt is to squeeze it really hard. I think I could have done that beforehand. So. God gives us opportunities to learn all kinds of lessons in all kinds of different ways, and she has definitely learned one. But she also learned that there's lots of people who love her at those moments, too. So Claire's doing well. Hopefully she learns better than my younger brother did with hot stoves. But anyway, I love my brother dearly. Carolyn. Hunter safety test. Yep. Skeet shots. He made three. He hit his very first. I mean, I'm just like, that's not fair. Your dad's not even that good. Yeah, he had a great time under safety. And I'm, as a parent, it's important to me that he not be afraid of weapons, but to treat them with the same respect. Because they are tools, not toys, no matter how you use them. Even if it's just to get better using them, that's a tool. But they are not toys, and they are not to be trifled with. And they are to be stored safely and maintained safely and kept away from little hands safely. And so there's a lot of stuff that I wanted him to learn. We live in a nation that has a reality of it, so rather than put his head in the sand, I wanted him to learn safely. Let us go before our Lord. Father God, the requests we have to lift you are numerous and many. Many dealing with different systems of the body. But Lord, you designed us. You knit us together in our mother's womb in secret. You put us together. So you already know how each and every one of us needs to be attended to in this body. So we lift up Ted and his upcoming surgery. We lift up Betty Culber and her recovery from surgery. We lift up Bobby Kendall and hopefully a very quick upcoming surgery to help her. All three of these people have shoulder injuries, Lord, and we know that you are shouldering the burden for them. And we trust you with that, Lord. Father God, I lift up near and dear to my heart, Josh Dyke, who is struggling with alcoholism. And Lord, I believe you are starting a new chapter in his life. I believe that you are going to bring him through it for real. I believe he is going to find a relationship with you for real. For Lord, I know we sowed seeds so many years ago. And I can't wait to see the fruit you bring, Lord. I'm trusting you for that. Lord, thank you for a week with injuries at my house and nothing substantial. Thank you for love being shown. Thank you for lessons being learned with minimal pain. Lord, thank you for safe travels. Thank you for healthy pets. Lord, there are so many needs, Lord. We lift up Linda's digestive system and the surety about why that's happening. We ask doctors to be able to quickly, succinctly, and thoroughly find a cause and bring a treatment. I can tell that her missing work is very frustrating and that she's very industrious and she's a woman of integrity at her job and that this frustrates her. So, Lord, give her peace about that. Through this moment and give her employer patience and peace about it as well so that they all work as a team to bring healing to your child. Lord, there's more that's been said, but this old brain forgets half of it. And so forgive me, Lord, when that happens, but we lift up Dan Lathrop as well, Lord, that he can get some good sleep. When we don't get good sleep, Lord, we just don't function. We get grouchy and we get tired and non-productive. And Lord, so please give Dan some good sleep and his grandson some peace about it as well. We lift up all these things and more unknown to your throne of grace. And we trust you for each and every member of this body.
Praise the Lord today. God is so good to us. And I want to invite you to continue to lift up the variety of prayer requests that you heard today. Pray for our fellow brothers and sisters, that God would be with them in everything that they are facing. So, because we know our God is faithful. He he's with us. So that's why we get to pray and call upon him. Amen. I want to turn your attention now to the Word of God. We've been doing spiritual disciplines, and today's topic is the spiritual discipline of service. So again, welcome to those who are viewing online and those who are here in the sanctuary, in the building. Welcome to God's house. And it is definitely a privilege to study the Word of God. And we, like I said earlier, we've been doing the series Spiritual Disciplines. I've tried to use the letter S to help get them in our memory, right? So that we can remember what some of the disciplines are. And so far, we talked about scripture reading. We talked about soul friendship, right? And so this week's topic is service. So if you have your Bible, whether that's electronic or you have old school paper, old school paper, that's what I like too. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verse 10. So it's a beautiful thing that he says here. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, right? Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. I think one of the first things we need to acknowledge about practicing the spiritual discipline of service is that we all have at least one gift that God has given us. That's what the scripture says. We get at least one gift. And my lived experience has been, we usually have more than one gift. We have multiple gifts that God has given each individual. So, but if you're the type that's like, well, I don't know about that. Well, you have at least one, okay? According to the scripture, you got at least one. So there are several passages that supply list of spiritual gifts. If you look through scripture, Paul talks about them in his letter, both to the Roman church and to the Corinthian church. So you can find it in Romans 12. You can find it in 1 Corinthians 12. And then Peter talks about them in his letter. And so the lists are not by any means meant to be exhaustive, like, you have to have these things that are outlined here or else it's not a gift. That's actually not what scripture is trying to do. So if you go, well, I'm gifted in such and such, and I don't see mine in any of those lists, that's okay. Because the lists that are there, they're not exhaustive. It's not the one and only thing. God is so creative. He has given us gifts and talents to use for his glory. So don't worry about if your particular gift isn't there in the list. God has given it to you. And it's also not to point out who has gifts, who is gifted and who's not. It's really all of us, each of us has something to give. And so the point of those lists is to show the fact that when we follow Christ, we live a life of serving God and serving others, because that's the whole point of God gifting us, so that we can serve his kingdom and also serve people around us, right? So this is what we want to do. And I know there are some, again, it doesn't matter what age you are, because it's not just young people who will say, but I can't sing like the people on the praise team. I can't play an instrument. I can't play the piano like Sister Carolyn can. That's okay. Everyone doesn't need to be playing the piano. Everybody doesn't have to sing. use your gift for God's glory. And somebody will say, yeah, but I can't preach. I can't teach and lead the Bible studies. That's okay. There are other things for you to be doing. And none of that matters. Don't compare yourself to others and focus on what you think you lack. Focus on what you have in your hand. What did God give you? And whatever that one thing is, He's expecting you to open that gift and put it to use. It's unfortunate. I don't know if you've ever gone to a birthday party or maybe even a wedding. People get gifts. Have you ever seen the gifts just shoved in the corner and no one opens them? Like ever? They just sit there in the corner and collect dust? Now, Sister Judy's like, no. People open those bad boys, you know, and you're showing them off to all your friends. Look what I got. It's the same thing when it comes to our gifts from God. He's not giving you the talent to be a writer just so you keep it to yourself. You know, He hasn't given you the gift of friendship. He hasn't given you the gift of giving. He hasn't given you the gift of singing and dancing and all of those creative things so they can be in some box with a pretty bow stuck in the corner. That's not what it's about. You have to open that gift and use it. That's what God is expecting from each of us. And using our gifts is what the discipline of service is about. When you read Paul's passages, you find him arguing that the body of Christ cannot fully function without individuals operating within their gifting. And he actually compares the body of Christ to the human body. It's a perfect illustration. I love that Paul did that. We know our bodies, and we know when something's out of whack. You heard Sister Linda already speaking to that. Something ain't right. It's not working the way it's supposed to be working. The pinky toe, as little as it is, can go unnoticed, right? We just get up in the morning, we put our slippers on, we put our shoes on, and we run out the door and do our thing. Ooh, you don't even think about the significance of that little pinky toe.
Until you stub it.
But thank you, Sister Linda, until you stub that toe. Oh, my, then it starts talking to you, don't it? And that little toe alerts the rest of the body. Ooh, not only am I here, but I am hurting. And therefore, I cannot fully function because I'm in pain. The little toe. And you think that's insignificant. Who needs a little toe? If you didn't have that little toe, you actually wouldn't properly balance on your foot and be able to walk. Yeah. We don't notice that stuff, right, until something happens and we miss it. Oh, my dear friends, that's why I love Paul's illustration. He was wise in using it. We might think it is insignificant, but it is not. It is not. Every single one of us is important to the body of Christ because we are divinely placed, just like that pinky toe that is silently contributing, largely working unnoticed. But we must realize it is divinely placed. And when we choose not to serve, the body suffers because it's not operating in full capacity. When we choose to serve, however, God gets the glory. And something else we should put into practice is encouraging others to utilize their gift, and we should create space for them to do so. And this concept builds on the spiritual practice of soul friendship. Remember, we talked about that last week. Remember, we are designed to be in community, and as a body of believers, part of iron sharpening iron means encouraging others and providing opportunity for others to develop their gifts and to use them. So we should welcome people into the household of faith and encourage them to use their gift. So please know, if I repeat an idea, it's because the spiritual disciplines are interconnected. They are related. And I'd be hard pressed to talk about one without referring to the other or a couple of them, right, at any given time. So now let's talk about the quality of your service, how you should show up, and when you have the opportunity to serve affects how others view God. So I'm not talking about when you hit the wrong note while singing or you're running late and it's your turn to lead a particular meeting. Mistakes don't mar your witness as much as your attitude does. Let me say that again. It's not your mistakes that mar your witness as much as your attitude. It's your attitude that can turn people off from following Christ, from wanting to know who God is. So how are you showing up? So what do you mean, Pastor Teresa? I'm talking about showing off when you sing. You try to outdress everyone else so that they notice you in your Sunday best, or you perform a task begrudgingly, meaning you do it, but you're like, why do I always have to do this? And you're rolling your eyes and you're sighing. Nobody likes that. Nobody. Think of the times you've received poor customer service. You ever gone to the store and you get that one mean clerk? You're chuckling because you know. Like, they're like, eye roll. And you're like, hi, how are you today? Fine. And then you're asking them questions and they're acting like, you know, they're going to die because you've asked them where the bread is. Like, you don't work at the store, so legitimately, if you don't know where the bread is, they should know because they work there. They've got the badge, right? And you're like, okay. Because this is me. I'm thinking, oh, you're so friendly. You're so friendly. Friendly. Good, great customer service. Yeah, right. I'll try the next cashier or the next clerk. Or next door. And I have done that, Sister Judy. I've just had to go, you know, seems like I can use my money elsewhere. Okay, all right, bye-bye. So don't be that one. That's what I'm saying. Don't be that person that when we come up to you and ask you, hey, Brother Ivan, can you do this? And you're like, I guess. It's like, really? If you have the gifting and you have the know-how, you have the capability, do it with a smile. Do it with a smile. It's really hard for others if you don't have a smile when you're trying to serve God, because then they're like, you know, I don't really have to go to this church. There's 10,000 others. I'll go find another place to be. Right? So how are you representing the Lord that you love? Don't be that one rolling your eyes and not wanting to be bothered with others. The Bible, in fact, teaches us to serve with joy and love. And so let me share a bit from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 12, starting with verse 6. Romans 12, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to teach to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, he says. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You see that word? Enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, he says. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So Paul says here for us to serve with love in our hearts. Love will motivate us to be genuine and sincere in our service. He's telling us how to treat other believers, as does Peter in our opening scripture reading, right? Peter echoes the same sentiment. We have to serve our fellow believers and should take pride in doing so. Paul implores us to do our best, whatever our gifting is. And so I submit to you that he says this because how we treat others is related to how we treat and respond to God. Curious how that works. But how we treat others is how we will respect and respond and treat God himself. So look how Paul interchanges the thought. Verse 10 says, it's about how we show up with others. And verse 11 changes the object of our service from others to God himself. He says, work hard and serve the Lord. Almost as if they're one and the same thing, right? I may have mentioned this idea before, but it bears me repeating. God says we cannot love him if we do not love the people we see every day. Somebody say amen. Because you have to understand that, right, Sister Carolyn? You got to get it in your head. I cannot truly say that I love a God who is completely invisible to me. I have no vision of what he looks like, what she looks like, right? God is in my heart. God is in my mind and in my spirit. But look at all these people sitting around me. The people at work, the people in the store, when you go to the post office, when you're driving down the street and they're honking and acting all kind of crazy. Do you take time to love those people? Because God is like, you can't handle loving those people? No, don't even think about trying to say you love me. Don't even think about it. And that's so deep because it's like, I think a lot of people think I'm holy because I go to church on Sunday and I do this and I volunteer here and I do that and I love God. Okay, well, in theory, but how is that put into practice? What does it look like with the everyday people that are right in front of you? Therefore, if we're doing things so we can get the glory because you want compliments, because you want your name on the pew, because you sponsored the pew when the church building got remodeled. If you want compliments on how you teach, you lead service, you serve as an officer, whatever, blah, 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 then you will have received your just reward. Accolades and praise of people. That's your just reward. They're going to pat you on the back and say, good job. Thank you. But again, like I've said before, you haven't impressed God, though. You haven't impressed God. Because that's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to build your own kingdom and to get your own glory. He's actually designed you, created you in his image to reflect him, build his kingdom, and shine your light for his glory. Amen. That is what it's all about. And so we are to rightly reflect our God, our creator, and show the people around us who God is. So I believe this is why God expects us to serve others. This is where the service comes in. In doing so, we demonstrate our love. It's not about the gift he has given us, but why we use our gift and the manner in which we use it. So let me break it down. Jesus had the gift of life. He sacrificed his life so we all could be saved. By dying, by giving up his life for us, He demonstrates his love for us. God showed us his love by gifting us Jesus, his prized possession. And God sacrificed his prized possession, his son, for us. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. He loved us. And so when we operate in our gifting and love is the motivation, we sacrifice our personal will. And that's how others experience God through us. So Jesus sacrificed himself. God sacrificed his son. We turn around and sacrifice our own will and our own way. Why? Because we want to rightly reflect God's love. Because when I serve you, you serve me, we go out and serve others, they get an understanding. Oh, that's what God is all about. Oh, I see now. It's not about me, 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 I. It's about God and me stepping outside of myself to love you. The very people he's placed right in front of my face so that I can better understand who God is. That's what God has called us to. And when we do this, we can really experience God and others can experience God through us. Paul argues that the greatest gift is love. He closes his teaching on service with the emphasis that our service is all about love. And until recently, it actually didn't have the understanding of that until I went back and read it again. Because I had, growing up in the church, 1 Corinthians 13, it's like, that's the love chapter. Right, but what was the whole point of the love chapter? It's saying love is the greatest gift that God has given each and every one of us. Love motivates us to live right. It is love for God and love for others that makes us really shine and live out what God created us to be. So the love not only the believers is not only the believer's motivation, but a spiritual gift. And arguably, as Paul says, the greatest spiritual gift. And that's the point of Paul's dissertation on the spiritual gifts and service. Because once again, if you really love God, you're going to be motivated by God's love to go out and serve others. And that's how we win others to Jesus. But the lesson doesn't end there. It's true that God gives us spiritual gifts so that we can serve the body of Christ. He also wants us to serve non-believers, right? Because so far the scriptures have been talking about how we treat each other, those who are naming the name of Christ, those who are part of the body of Christ. But serving others, I don't see that in the scripture. What are you talking about, Willis? Someone's looking to the side going, I don't know if she's right on that one. Yes, I know. We really should be serving the non-believers too. And Peter says to love your fellow believers. So you're like, yeah, so Peter says to love your fellow believers. It's right there in black and white. Even Paul teaches service to believers. However, that's not the entire teaching. Because if you look at other scriptures, you'll find we're also supposed to be serving those who are not of the house of faith, right? It's there in the book. Paul adds to his description of service, loving our enemies. So right after he says, always be eager to practice hospitality, and that's in Romans 12, verse 13, he immediately follows that statement with verse 14. Okay, I didn't read verse 14 to you. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. What does he say? Don't curse them. Oh, I got several words for the people who irritate me. Let me just let you know. I got several words. But Paul says, no. Don't do that. don't do that. What does he say? Pray that God will bless them. So I need to keep those curse words. Swallow that back. And replace them with words of prayer that God will actually bless them. Is that what he says? Bless them? Verse 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And I think when he's saying ordinary people, he's saying, yeah, those people who don't go to your church, those people who will never step inside of a church, you know, those people that you work with. Oh, I'm supposed to live in harmony with them. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with only the people you like. Oh, it doesn't say that only the people you like. It doesn't say that. Oh, it says with everyone. So everyone? Like, as in like everyone? Or like everyone over here? No, everyone. So I'm getting people in the front. You probably can't see them, but they're like, no. It says everyone. So it's not just the people you like. It's not just the people who will treat you nicely. It means everyone. So that includes those people who are not so nice. And so this is where service comes in, that gift of service that God gave you. It's not just for the house of God. It's for those who don't believe. That's part of our witness to them. And I know it may sound confusing because Paul is interchanging how we should treat believers and non-believers, those who, you know, including our enemies, like I said before. But remember this, the word everyone isn't limited to the local congregation. It literally means every person. All of those people in your neighborhood, all the people you're ever going to meet in the airport, when you're standing in line at the store, the people in your school, the people everywhere. There shouldn't be enemies in our congregation, hopefully not, because they should be brothers and sisters in Christ, not enemies, right? But there are challenging brothers and sisters in the faith, right? I mean, look at your family of origin, your physical, your blood siblings. You might fight with them, but you still love them at the end of the day, right? You would hurt someone else in order to preserve their safety, right? It's no different when it comes to the body of Christ. We may not agree 110% of the time, but we should always be respectful, right? We should always be loving. We should always be kind, even though we disagree. Because we serve a mighty God. And again, that's what God expects of us. He wants us to love each other, even when the times get hard and tough. So that's why we can conclude Paul is talking about people inside the church and outside of the church. And if you have somebody in the body you don't get along with, you should be working to reconcile your differences as a sign of your spiritual maturity, right? You don't get to be mad and stay mad. And I'm just going to quit the choir. And I'm not going to do, yeah. How is that helpful? How is that helpful? Okay, stop it. Just stop. Stop it. It's not helpful. Do the mature thing and say, hey, you know, brother, you know, sister, I'm having a hard time with this because blah, 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 blah. Help me understand. What am I missing? I don't have all of the data. I want to understand and I want to make things right. Because you are my sister in Christ. You are my brother in Christ. And I know that God wants us to love each other. So what are we going to do? Rather than,
I'm just going to take my toys and I'm going to walk away like little kids doing a tantrum. Let's not do that. Let's show that we have actually grown up in Christ Jesus. Right? Let's do that. You don't get to hold a grudge for a decade and say that you love God. Stop that. Stop that. It's not okay. The reason it's not okay is because how we show up affects how others experience God. We are ambassadors for Christ. So at all times, we are giving witness to fellow believers, those who are newer in their faith, those who have been walking with Christ for a long time, and you're also shining your light, or not so much, for the non-believer who's watching and observing at all times, just like little kids. Always eyes open, ears really open, listening and watching. So how you show up affects them. So don't forget that. Non-believers need to see how we forgive those who trespass against us, as do fellow believers. They need to see us in action, feeding the homeless, visiting the incarcerated, caring for widows and orphans. Jesus told the crowd one day about true love. It's recorded in Matthew 5. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, Jesus said, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even non-believers do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Those from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. So there's a song that says, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our love motivates us to serve. Why do we serve? Because it honors God and it honors the human beings around us. This, my friends, is what practicing the discipline of service entails. We know that we have gifts from God and that we are motivated by love. We use our gifts to serve the local church, and we use our gifting to serve our community and the world, which will be our witness of God's love and his salvation. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word, that we can trust it and grow from it. We ask that you show up in our lives through our service to others. Help us to be a blessing to someone else. We also ask, God, that you reveal yourself to us as we need. And we need you to be our healer for the sick, to be a provider for those in need, to be a comforter for those who are brokenhearted, and be light in this dark world. Bless this congregation and the folks who are watching us online, our members and our friends. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We will now have a song.
Oh, my words. Let's stand and we're going to close with Seek Ye First.
Speak blessings of peace and prosperity over you this week. Go with God's grace and go empowered by His Spirit until we meet again. Blessings on you.
Amen.
Will you have a